It's so awesome to be here, particularly after the weekend. I don't enjoy camping. I'm not camp, but a lot of you guys missed that camp part. But Laureen and I went. We were there on Friday and most of Saturday, and we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Joe spoke about, family getting together, bringing about unity, and that's what we felt. We had to leave early, because I had to be in Gqeberha the next day to preach there and also to pray a lead elder out and pray in a new lead elder. So that was also very exciting to do. And it's great to be here this morning. And also looking forward to our trip. It's going to be exciting as well. God's got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And this is filled with purpose. We're just not going there for a good time with Anton and Annalyn. That's 50% of it, but we're going there with a plan and a purpose. So today I'm going to start talking about what happened on a remarkable day on September the 10th. Happened recently. Who knows Charlie Kirk? Or who doesn't know Charlie Kirk, who Charlie Kirk was? You can just stick your hand up. A couple of you guys don't know who he was. So Charlie Kirk, this to me was a day that marked in history good versus evil, light versus dark. And he was a young man, he was aged 32. He started an organization called Turning Point United States of America. And he started this at the age of 18. He never went to college, he never went to university, but this Turning Point USA became a multi-million dollar enterprise. And he promoted conservative values in high schools and college campuses, and the organization grew into a major force, reaching millions of students, millions of students. And he also hosted a daily radio show and podcast. And again, he reached millions of people weekly. He authored multiple books, and he was a frequent guest on influential media like Fox News and Newsmax. And he did a number of campus speaking tours. In fact, he was assassinated at one of these speaking tours on the 10th. But listen to this, the impact after he got assassinated, and that's really where I'm going to go this morning. Following his assassination, his influence surged with a reported 15 to 30% more people going to church the following Sunday in America. It was like a revival. I saw TikTok videos where people would normally go to church and there's plenty of parking. There were queues of cars waiting to get into the church parking lot. They had to wait for the second service or the third service. The churches were overwhelmed with the amount of people that came. There was also a significant spike in Bible sales. People who never had Bibles before, people who went to church and never had a Bible, suddenly went to bookstores, they went onto Amazon and they started ordering Bibles and started reading Bibles. So it's almost like this wave of revival hits America and is going through America right now. But then, the day after, or the week after he was assassinated, his wife Erica and another podcast host, Megyn Kelly, went onto his morning show to speak for an hour about what's the way forward with Turning Point USA, because she's now been made the president of this. Listen to this. In that hour, on that show, they had a record-breaking 1 billion views. 1 billion views from China to Europe to Africa. It had more views than a Taylor Swift concert had through the whole of Europe. Yeah. I mean, the guy said, the guys that keep these figures, they said this was, the statisticians said, this was unbelievable. In industry insiders describe this as groundbreaking. I mean, it's really groundbreaking. And one thing is very clear for each one of us, and one thing was very clear for me, is that Charlie Kirk knew and recognized that he had a purpose. And as you sit here, each one of you have a purpose in his kingdom. And we all have a deep desire to live out our purposes, but we also need to establish what our purposes are. And sometimes as a children, you know, you dream of doing something big. You believe it's going to be significant. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a mom. I want to be a dad. I want to, you know, be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever the case is. Unless you find yourselves where you're sitting at the moment, you're like, flip, that dream never worked out. Life sucks. I mean, I'm working for a boss and he's just like gnarly. But that's not God. God has a plan for you. Like Charlie Kirk, we dream of being and long to be a person who makes a difference in this world. Now, each one of you can make a difference. Each one of us will make a difference. And you need to understand it's with God and through God that you'll make a difference. And a lot of us are sitting here and you are asking yourselves the question, why am I uniquely made? What in the heck am I doing here today? And I love it that you guys are very obedient. The word says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. So welcome. It's nice to have you here. But some of you guys are sitting here. I'd rather be at home watching the Springboks beat the Argentina again. It was such a lack of score and everything. And I nearly cut my wrist because I didn't watch it. I was watching Liverpool lose. Why are you laughing so loud? Yeah, I chose wrong. But anyway, we look for the answers in the wrong places. We look for our purpose in each other. We really do. We look, how can I be significant in your life? Have I got purpose with you or in you? We look for purpose in the whims of society. What's happening in society? I need to fit in or I'm going to be out. So I'll change to be that person. But that's not what God wants you. Sometimes it's an internal pressure. Sometimes it's pressure from our parents. Who of you guys are doctors here or studied to be a doctor? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, I'll be a doctor. It's interesting that 80% of students who study to become doctors complete their degrees. Don't go into a practice. They're going to do something completely different. 80%. The only reason why they did it is because their fathers and mothers said, I want you to become a doctor. 80%. So you see, they've been bent and forced into something to please their parents as opposed to, wait, what has God got for me? What is God's purpose for my life? And God has a better purpose for our lives than we could ever find in the world. A purpose so great and so powerful and so lasting, when we get a glimpse of it, we will forever be changed. I'll talk about my own life shortly, but it will change. It might not be on the scale of Charlie Kirk, guys. You might say, look, Charlie Kirk reached millions of guys every week, and when he died, billions of people, and people are still talking about him. I'll never be a Charlie Kirk. You don't have to be. You have to be you and who God's called you to be. It's as simple as that. It might not be for the millions, but it might be for the one. So let me ask you this. Who discipled Charlie Kirk? Who discipled Billy Graham? Who discipled the Andrew Selly? Who's touched people across the globe? Millions of people. Who has discipled you, and who are you discipling into the purposes and the call of what God has in store for you? If you're not discipling somebody, you might be missing out. We love this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. We've got fridge magnets. And a lot of people say, no, you're quoting it out of context, but I'll read it anyway. God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me tell you that all the promises are yes and amen in the Lord, according to scripture. But God does have a plan for us. And our hope is a hope that sets in eternity. And it is a life in which we're going to prosper once we're in eternity. We're not going to go into eternity as beggars. We're going to go there fulfilled with a life which is pleasing to Him and to our souls. Psalm 139:16 says this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I mean, my word, think about this. Your book's already written. chapter 1, in the beginning. And right at the end, full stop. That's it. That's in heaven, on the bookshelf in heaven. My book of life. I think I'm in the last chapter now. No, I'm joking. No, don't speak that over me. It's a long chapter. Yeah. It's the one with the most pages. You know, I don't know if I told you what Will Maria used to say about life. Life's like a toilet roll. And a middle piece, that carton, you know. So when a toilet roll is new and you start taking the toilet paper off, that little cardboard carton turns very slowly. But as the toilet paper runs out and it's near the end, that little piece of carton goes vrr, 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 vrr. It's really turning fast, and that's where we are at the moment. John 15:16 says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. You are chosen by God. I'd like you to say, I am chosen by God. You're not chosen by Kim. You're not chosen by your parents. Your parents had a part to play in this. But you have been chosen by God. And we need that to settle in. We are chosen by God. You aren't secondary. You are someone in God's kingdom. You're a person that in God's eyes matters. You are going to have a significant impact on a person or people. Some of you already had that. Some of you are going to have it. You just need to get into line with what God's got to say. So we need to go out and bear fruit. So interesting, a macadamia tree. Once you plant the seed and it grows, how long before it starts bearing fruit, the first nut? 7 to 8 years. Okay. Well, then the harvest is normally about 12 to 15 kilograms of nuts. Now, if you planted that tree and you've got a plantation of macadamia trees and the trees only produce one nut, how are you going to feel about that? A little bit disappointed because you spent a lot of money investing in these trees. You've been fertilizing them, watering them for 8 years. But it doesn't matter. You know, the one is as important as the entire crop because that one could make a difference. The next year, that tree could produce 24 kilograms instead of 12 kilograms. So we don't get disappointed and disillusioned. You say, look, I can't see the fruit in my life at the moment. No, no, God's in control of the growth. He's in control of what fruit you're going to bear. The thing is, we need to be surrendered into His will. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. All He wants us to do is abide. He has chosen us to make a lasting impact on earth. And I love what Jesus said in Mark 12, verses 30 to 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. I listened to our worship this morning. Did we express our love to Him? Or are we looking for more from Him to us? You know, if Laurie and I aren't in love with each other, I wouldn't be excited to be going to bed with her tonight. I wouldn't be excited about waking up and seeing her beside me. I wouldn't be excited about going down and having dinner with her or watching television with her. I'd stay away from her. And God's not like that. He desires love because that's fundamental to who we are. He created us to love Him. It's not that He needs it. He created us in His image so He could share His glory, His love with you and I. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. No matter what you're thinking, no matter what you believe, those are the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor. Do we really love our neighbors? And I was so impressed with that camp, looking at the way the people were synergizing, unifying, and getting together and having fun together. That's genuine love. It wasn't put on. You could see if people are putting things on. This wasn't put on. This was a genuine appreciation and love for one another. So I'd like to say well done to you guys. Amazing. So your purpose on earth is to love God and to love others. Love God and love others. And God has chosen you and me to bring about salvation. If you look at your neighbor and you see him going down the tubes and you ignore him, you've lost your purpose in the Lord. You've lost the love for an individual that's destined to go to hell. You saying, I'm all right, like Monopoly, I got the get out of jail card, get out of hell card in my back pocket. Whatever happens to him, it's between him and God. No, God has chosen us to love even the worst. And remember, God loved us this much. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to the earth so that we could have life in eternity with him. And yet, we in our human form, with our own mentality and everything, says, well, that's God. I'm not God, so I can't love that person. No, we're actually commanded. Second greatest command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Through loving God, this is very important. Through loving God, we will glorify him. Without love, you can't glorify him. We will worship him, like this morning. We will worship him because we love. I mean, I don't sing to Laureen, but I know if I did, she'd probably stay upstairs. But you know, out of love, I can get up in the morning and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, or how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. I wouldn't sing that if there was no love in my heart for him. How can we say we adore him if there's no love in our heart? You know, it's just superficial. You know, again, I said, you know, we come to church, we go through the liturgy, or we go through the process of doing things because that's what we do every Sunday. But really, guys, what we need to arrive is with heart prime and overflowing with a love for God. He's the reason why we are here. The only reason is why we are, is for him. We will live with the love in our hearts. We will live in a way that glorifies him. I look at many of you guys. I've been in your homes, and I watch you guys. Joe and Tanya Harry, Tony and Joe, I haven't been into your home yet, but going to these homes. These guys are passionate about God. They love God. Gavin, these are you guys as well. It's absolutely amazing to see how these guys love and revere God. Through love, you'll honor God. If you don't love somebody, you're not going to honor them. I honor my wife because I love her. I really do. If you love God as much as what you say you do, you'll pick up your cross daily and follow him. No matter what the burden is, no matter what the issue is, you'll pick up the cross and say, yes, Lord, I will do this out of obedience because I love you. Remember, he went to the cross because he loved us. Through love, we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Without love, we're not going to be transformed. Because that's not who Jesus is. It's not who our Father is. They are love. And without love in our hearts, you know, I can stand in front of all of you now and say, guys, you're my heart. I love you. I genuinely do. A lot of you guys don't know me intimately or personally. I'd love to get to know you, but I do love you. I'll take a bullet for you. And through love, we will have an eternal relationship with him. And we will carry out good works for him. You know, if I don't have love in my heart, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. But I love God. And because I love God, I love people. Our love brings about obedience to God's word. Without that love, you're not going to look at God's word. It's just going to collect dust, or you're going to get on your iPhone or smartphone, whatever the case is, and you start reading the Bible, and then the message pops up, and you go directly to the message. Or there's another highlight that comes up on news or property for sale, whatever the case is, and the Bible or God's word becomes secondary. But God has called us to love his word. Love that word that Cassie gave us last week. We need to shower ourselves in the word. Shower yourselves in the word. You know, don't just look at the shower and say, oh, there's a nice shower. Isn't it amazing? It's dry all the time, but I'm going to remain dirty. We actually need to step in the shower, get wet. Let's get soaked in God's word. Erica Kirk, when she stood up at the most amazing memorial service I've ever witnessed in my life. We had elders who watched the entire thing. It went on for 5.5 hours, the memorial service. But it started off with worship. Some of the key guys, Brendan Lake, Chris Tomlin, all these guys were singing. And then one by one, people came up and shared a eulogy on Charlie Kirk, including the president, the vice president, and whoever. They all came up. But eventually, Erica came up, and she said, that young man who killed my husband, I forgive him. Because that's what Jesus wants me to do. That's what Charlie wanted me to do as well. You see, that's out of a place of love, compassion, and empathy. And if you slap me on my face, what do? Turn the other cheek. Why? Because I love you. If you say, carry this load, say, I'll carry it for you. I'll take it even further if you want me to. That's the love that we need in our hearts. And Scripture also tells us that we've been chosen to be carriers of and ministers of the kingdom of God. We have been called a royal priesthood. Have you ever thought of yourself as being royalty? A royal priesthood? Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. This just causes me to love him over and over again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that's amazing. Just let that sink in quickly. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous and wonderful light. Jesus in Mark 1:15 says this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is at hand. Remember what I said, you know, we haven't got all these get out of jail cards in our pockets anymore. Because out of love, we're going to share the gospel. God's kingdom is here on earth. And in Revelation 5:10, it says this, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Are we reigning? Are we ducking and diving? Are we reigning? Are we walking in the authority of the king as one of his subjects? We will bow down to him, you know, bend our knees to him, or are we bending down and bowing to other things in our lives? See, your life, yeah, is of eternal value. Whatever you're doing in this life is preparation for eternity. Don't waste your time here. I wasted a lot of time in my life. I only got saved when I was 47 years old. Those first 47 years was a disaster. But for God's love, but for God's redeeming power, but for his blood, I've been restored and reconciled to him. I've got a lot of catching up to do, but God. You know, a life simply spent waiting for God is a life wasted. I had to laugh last week on the 23rd of September. It was proclaimed by many prophets. Many people had dreams. Kids had dreams. If you went to YouTube, there were hundreds of prophecies that the rapture was going to take place on the 23rd of September. I've never repented so much, so hard for a day in my life. Lord, if there's anything wrong with me, please forgive me. And then I was waiting for people to start disappearing, and when they didn't, I said, oh, no, obviously they got the date wrong. Did I ever tell you what happened to me when I first heard about the rapture? Might have told some of you guys the story. We went on a church camp, and there's this old chap that was with us. His name was Len Hendrick. And we were new Christians, and he was talking about the rapture. And what's this? What's it all about? Now, one day we're going to be taken up into the heavens, and wow! And on this camp, the people were being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Josh Chen was only about 350 people in those days. But the whole church was in this hall, and the people were shaking and falling and rattling and rolling. And they had what they called the funky chicken. They were going, filled with the Spirit. Morning, day, and noon, they were moving around. You know, they were on fire for Jesus. Were you guys there? But anyway, so Laurie and I are like a bit cynical. We new Christians, just been saved. Just been saved. I should say. And we're like, oh, not so sure. I think these guys are like milking this thing, you know. This is rattling and rolling in the bed. That's a bit much. Eh? Anyway, about a week later, I wake up in the middle of the night, and the whole bed's vibrating. And here's Laurie, filled with the Holy Spirit. And she's shaking like mad. She falls on her knees and she starts praying in tongues. She goes, this is amazing. This is true. The following week, I wake up. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning and Lauren's missing. No. So I go downstairs. If she can't sleep, she goes downstairs and she sits down and she watches television. And I go downstairs. She's not there. I then go to the spare bedroom. Maybe she's lying there. She's not there. Then I go into our third and final bedroom. And she's not there. I fall down on my knees. Oh, Lord, what have I done wrong? Please forgive me. Meanwhile, she's sitting in the office on the high chair, and she swivels around and says, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. So don't waste your time. See, we will never be satisfied until we devote our lives to ministering this incredible gospel of restoration and love. Restoration and love. So many people, like ourselves, like many of you, in fact, all of you, were restored and reconciled out of love to our Heavenly Father. And remember, God doesn't have a cookie cutter mold. He tries to fit believers into a specific thing. He's formed each one of you for a specific purpose and function. What I'm doing and what I've been asked to do by the Lord is different to Joe, as an example. Completely different. And, you know, your calling is different to mine, but you have been called. There's a purpose for you. He has plans for you. There are no other plans. And I'll tell you about me. So I got into the business world, and I thought that this is where I need to be, you know, in the marketplace. I stayed in the marketplace for 31 years. And then eventually I joined a church, and I felt the love of God. I was reconciled, restored to God, and then I became a pastor. I never, ever dreamt in my entire life that I was going to become a pastor. In fact, in the previous church that I was in, the pastor's wife was waiting at the door for us one day when we arrived there. She said, Kim, I had such a vivid dream about you last night. I dreamt that you would become a full-time pastor. Is this something on your heart? I said, no, loser. Pastors are losers. They don't earn money. Guess who's laughing now? My father. Because he had a plan and a purpose for my life. And it's a plan and a purpose. I can tell you this with all sincerity. I've never enjoyed what I'm doing as much as I do now. This is a calling. This is a purpose that God has blessed me with and my wife with. Because we do this together as one. It's amazing to be serving our King in His kingdom. It's not about the material stuff, guys. We've been there, done that. We've had the BMs, the new watches, the new cars, the new suits, the houses, everything. I've been there, done that. I've got the T-shirt. So it's not about that. So work with God in all that you do. Love Him and others and with every fiber of your being. Don't be... like wishy about it. I'll use that word again. Don't be, you know, fickle about your love. Be genuine in your love. Be genuine in your love. Don't live for me, myself, and I. the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. I saw something the other day which so impressed me. It actually inspired me to do the same thing. There was a couple standing there, and obviously it didn't look like they're doing too well. And they had a few groceries. And you could see they were like, where's my wallet kind of thing. And a guy was standing in front of me. He went up and he pulled his credit card out and said, this one's on me. This one's on me. Doesn't know them from a bar of soap. He blessed them with that food. I mean, that's just loving a stranger. Not expecting anything back. Not expecting them to throw their arms around him and start singing, hallelujah. They just like received this with a genuine heart of gratitude that this stranger blessed them as he did. So give God your job, your family, your finances, and ask him, Lord, how do you want me to use this? How do you want me to use these things? And what will God say about you when your life is finished and you're standing in front of him? Will you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? Will you see when God shows you the book of life of all the people that you touched when you led into the kingdom, who you discipled? Big red line of people behind you. Kim, Joe, Tony, look at the people behind you. Jeff, look at all those people behind you. You impacted their lives because you loved them, you discipled them. You reflected my heart to them as well. And it's not just elders, God, it's everybody. And it could be one person. Remember, who led Charlie Kirk to the Lord? Who led Billy Graham to the Lord? The interesting thing about Billy Graham, his father was old, he had four sons. He was a preacher, Billy Graham's father, but none of his sons were saved. But slowly, over the years, as he was getting older and older, the oldest son gave his life to the Lord. The next son gave his life to the Lord. Then the third son gave his life to the Lord. And then he passed away. But what he did have is a relationship with a very close friend. And he said, whatever happens, please pray for my son every day. And he prayed for Billy Graham every day until he gave his life to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord standing in the library, and the Lord's presence just overwhelmed him. But somebody was praying for him. Can we be those people that pray for people that need Jesus? We've got Jesus. We need to reflect his love a little bit better, I believe. We need to be on fire for him. So God has incredible plans and purpose in store for you. If you'll simply open your heart, lift your hands and say to him, very dangerously, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me. If you say that, he's going to take you up on that. If you can't say that, you're going to be waiting a very long time to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I spoke about Charlie Kirk, but finally, there's a person who had a bigger impact than Charlie. His name was Jesus. He's still having an impact on this earth today. He's had an impact on all of your lives. He's had a major impact on my life. The best-selling book at the moment in the world still remains the Bible. So his word has gone out for millennium after millennium after millennium. His word is there in the Bible, is his love letter to us. But he took on the form of man. He came down to earth, took upon our sin, everything that we did wrong, doing wrong and going to do wrong. He took that onto his body. He was slashed, scourged with a whip. They say 49, but the tip of the whip had 5 to 7 extra pieces of leather on with pieces of bone and lead stuck into them. So when they counted, when they estimated, it's around about 700 scars on his back. So it was completely raw. So he was without sin. He was absolutely innocent, but he was punished for you and I. The Romans took that crown that they made out of thorns, and they didn't just put it on his head. They forced it onto his head because the blood was pouring out of his face. So his death wasn't instant like Charlie Kirk's. His death was not without suffering. Jesus suffered for you and me on the cross. But he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Now I look at that and say, wow, God, how can I be forgiven? I've sinned. I'm just gnarly. I'm terrible. You know, if you know my inner thoughts, my inner being, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be going to heaven. But Jesus has said, I'll take your sins and cast them away as far as east is from west. That's how much I love you. He carries more scars than Charlie Kirk will ever carry. Major scars on his hands and his feet when he was nailed to the cross. His side was pierced with a spear. And then the good news is, after 3 days, he was resurrected. The power of the Holy Spirit, he came to life. He appeared first to a woman, and then to his 12 disciples, and then to 500 people. Historically, it's been checked and verified that this isn't a fairy tale. It is the truth beyond undeniability. That he rose from the dead. He's now seated at the right-hand side of our Father in heaven. And he sits there interceding for you and me. And he advocates for you and myself. Oh, but Kim's done this, Father. But don't worry. I took that on me. God, I took that on me. That's one of those lashes. I took that on me for Kim. Now he's seated on the right-hand side of our Father. He rules and reigns over the earth. Death, my friends, my brothers and sisters, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, death has lost its sting. You will no longer die. If you are in the Lord, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will have a moment where you're going to fall asleep and you'll wake up and Jesus will be standing in front of you. There'll be no more tears, no more fear, no more pain, no more illnesses, no more death in heaven. Just joy. And a heart filled with an overwhelming love for him. Took our sins to the cross with him. And then the good news is he will return. He will ascend. He will come back. And he will take us who know him back to heaven with him, to spend eternity with him. Amen.